On September the 4th last year, I know you all will remember, we started a series, Trusting God. There's a lot of fear and anxiety, uncertainty with the political situation in this nation. That hasn't changed. And I wanted us to focus on the Lord and to be strong in Him. And we used Jeremiah 29:11 as the foundation verse for that series. Well, this morning, having started a new year, the Lord laid it on my heart to look at Jeremiah 29:1-14. It's a very rich passage, especially when you get to verses 11-14, to start out a new year, to be reminded of who we are in Christ. And most importantly is to be aware that God is working in us. And that is so important for us to be aware of. So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. And we're going to look at verses 1-14. So before we study, let's pray. Father in heaven, we continue to praise your holy and majestic name as we continue to worship you, the true and living God. As we come to study your word, I pray, Father, that our hearts and minds will be open to the teaching of your Holy Spirit from your word today. You will give us understanding. You will show us how this passage applies to our lives today as we have begun a new year. Keep the evil one from us. Lord, I pray that your children will be spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged in their walk with you. And I pray for anyone here today who doesn't know Jesus as Savior, that you will effectually call them to yourself, that they would experience your grace and mercy and forgiveness and come to know Christ as Savior. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, Jeremiah 29:1-14. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, and the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreamers that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon topic, Understanding God's Plan for Me. I'd like to explain that very briefly. Notice I didn't say knowing God's plan for me. We won't know God's plan for us for today until tonight. He has chosen to reveal that plan to us moment by moment, minute by minute, hour by hour. But we know He's always with us. We wrestle sometimes with understanding that plan. Have you ever had this thought, Lord, you know what you're doing? Let's see a show of hands on that one, you know. At three of us. Yes, there are times things are going on in our lives that we might very quietly say, Lord, what in the world are you doing? And why are you doing it to me? This does not make sense. And it doesn't. But let's look at this passage and look how you and I can understand God's plan in our lives. Now, we have to start off with Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. This verse we must always know. Paul, writing to the Philippians, said, being confident of this one thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until that day. So we must always be aware of the truth that God is always working in me personally. He's always working in you personally. 24/7. That's good news, that God is always working. The second verse is Romans 8:29. Thought you were going to say 8:28, didn't you? No. Romans 8:29. For those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So generally speaking, God's plan, God's working in us, and his plan for us is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. So when you and I have a biblical world and life view, then our view of our lives on a daily basis is God is working in me, and that work is to conform me to the image of His Son and my Savior, Jesus Christ. That is very important, to have a solid biblical world and life view. Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29. In Jeremiah 29, we've been told in the first three verses that the people of Judah have been taken to Babylon. All the officials and the leaders, there are some who remained in Jerusalem, they've all been taken there. And then, in beginning in verse 4, Jeremiah begins to instruct them on what they are to do. Now, in verses 4 through 6, he says, settle in the land. Have sons and daughters. Give those sons and daughters in marriage that they may have sons and daughters. You don't want to decrease in population and in the strength of this nation. So you continue to have children. Eat the produce of the land. In other words, get on with life. Settle in there. And you know, you look at this passage, you might read through it sometime this afternoon, how many times God says through Jeremiah, I sent you there in exile. I did this to you. Because God had warned His people for some 250 years that if they did not confess and repent of their sin, His judgment would come upon them. Hence, the prophets. And they ignored him. And so what did he do? I told you what I was going to do, and he did it. So we have a God that does not lie and that does not deceive. Settle in the land. Pray for the prosperity of that land because you're in it. That's where you're going to make your living, your livelihood. So don't be condemning this land. You pray that it will be prosperous because as that land is prosperous, you will be also. So he gives them very specific instructions on what they are to do. And then you notice also in this 4 through 10 that God says to his people, don't listen to the prophets. Don't listen to the diviners. And here's the reason. And this is so important for us today. Because I did not send them. We got a lot of so-called preachers today that God has not sent. They're false prophets. They're false teachers. And gullible Christians, and Christians who don't take seriously studying the Word so they don't know the Word, can be deceived. And these prophets in the day of Jeremiah there in Babylon were telling the people, and notice he included the priest in that bunch, we're telling the people, you're not going to be here 70 years. God's not going to leave us here that long. Hey, just kind of do what you can just to be here for a while. And we're going back. And Jeremiah says, no. The Lord said, when 70 years have been accomplished in Babylon, I will come and take you back. Brothers and sisters, be very careful of who you listen to with reverend in front of his or her name, especially the hers, because women preachers are not biblical. Be careful who you read. You've got to know the Scriptures. The standard is the Word of God. And God Himself is saying here, I did not send those people, therefore you do not listen to them. It's very important. Then we come up to verse 11. Look at verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let's look at this. First of all, for I know. Let's stop there. The verb to know, it's emphatic. It's a very strong verb in the Hebrew. I know. The way you and I would say this in our thought would be, look, I know what I'm doing. God knows what He was doing when He sent His own children into exile. He was disciplining them because they refused to listen to Him. And God will discipline us. Part of His work in us is to discipline us when we do not seriously take His word and live by it. As parents, when all of us were children, did not your parents discipline you? Sure, I've heard you talk of stories. And that's good. That's what God does. He disciplines His children. We discipline our children. And so God knows the plan. And part of that plan is discipline. Another part of that plan is grace and love and mercy and forgiveness. Another part of that plan is instruction. This is what I expect of you. This is what you will do. And another part of that plan is provision and protection. And this is all in the plan of God. God knows what He's doing. And God knows what He's doing in your life personally and in mine every day. Every day you and I get up and have the strength and ability to put these feet on the floor, to get dressed and start into the day, He's got your life for that day mapped out. And everything that is done in your life that day is to conform you and me to the image of Jesus Christ. And this is how you and I need to understand the plan that God has for us. And whatever God has foreordained to take place in your life and my life on that day is to conform us to Jesus Christ. You mean to tell me that when my tire goes flat on 280, God planned it? Yeah, what's your attitude while you're sitting there? What are you thinking? What are you saying? I don't want to see hands on that one. I know what I think and say. But see, it's in plan, it's in situations like that that the real person comes out. We've just been through a horrendous season of shopping and standing in long lines. What do you do while you're standing in line? And the cash and the person that's being waited on has thrown a curveball to the cashier and just shuts the thing down. Oh, Lord, just bless that person. If you said that and thought that, I want to talk to you after this service, okay? I'm not going to say what you said, but there's a frustration level that goes up. That's who you really are as well. And God is showing us what we're really like. Now work on it. So I know the plan I have for you. That's the verb to know. I know the plans. Now the word plan is an interesting word, because the word plan means to be to have a particular purpose and intention to accomplish in that person's life every day. And God knows what needs to be done in us, and He's going to carry it out. Now look at the next verb there, I have. Now normally the verb to have means to possess and to hold. And that is true with this word. There is a plan, and God has it. But there's another aspect of that plan. And that is to weave together. To weave together. And to bring to pass. You know, there are two types of plans. Basically, I'm speaking very general here. One plan is those of us who fly by the seat of our pants. We make the plan as we see the disaster coming, or after it's happened. Then there are those of us who are very strategic, and we want to know every jot and tittle before we start. And we're over-planned. What is it, OCD or something like that? Then you got everything in the middle. God has woven a plan for each one of His children, especially for that person. Think about that. Jot down Psalm 139. Read that psalm this afternoon. God knows us so completely. He knows us so thoroughly. And He's going to bring us and conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And He knows what it's going to take to get us there, that He has this intricate plan all worked out for us. When Laura goes to Uganda, you're going to learn some stuff there, Laura, that you will never forget. Jake and Jasmine, right? And those who've been on mission trips, we go to serve, and while you're there, you learn things. God has more in store for you on a mission trip than you would ever think. And it's all good. It's all challenging, but it's good. And God does the same thing for us on a daily basis here. If we would just have Christ in the forefront of our minds every day instead of just on Sundays. And so I have, God says, I have this very detailed, intricate plan that I'm going to work out in your life on a daily basis. And the purpose is to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Now let's look at the word declare. Because if you look in this passage, you will see the phrase, he says. And now you see the word he declares. What's the difference between he says and he declares? There is a major difference there. He says means he's just said something. The word declare means I've made a decision and I'm going to carry it out. So when he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, I've already made the decision and it's going to work out. He's already made a decision for us today to be here, to hear this sermon. He's already declared what you're going to do when you leave here. He knows it. He's planned it. He has it for you. And our understanding of that declaration, it's going to happen, is going to conform you and me personally to Jesus Christ. So, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. Now, let's look at this. There's the word plan. Same one previously. He's got it down. But let's look at the word welfare. That's not a good word in our culture. It refers... I'm not going to go over there. But do you know what the word in the Hebrew is there? Shalom. Shalom. Whoa, when I looked that up in the Hebrew, I just sat there and thought, oh my. God's plan for you and for me and His children is shalom. Now we got to look at the word shalom. It's a deep, rich word. First of all, it means peace between the individual and the Lord. How many of us have deep spiritual peace with the Lord right now? You're at peace. Not because you're in the sanctuary, not because it's Sunday, but inwardly, your relationship with the Lord, based on what has been revealed to us in Scripture, is what it ought to be. Doesn't mean we're perfectly holy. That's in heaven. But it does mean that when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and shows us sin in our life, we confess, we repent, and we ask for forgiveness, and we are forgiven. And as you and I do that on a daily basis, we have the relationship with God that we're supposed to have. That's the first part of peace. Shalom. We're at peace with the Lord. There's always room for improvement, and we're working on that. That's good. The next would be prosperity. That's another word that's not good in our society because we automatically go to dollars and cents. We're talking spiritual prosperity. The word blessed. How many times did you have someone tell you in these last couple of weeks, have a blessed day, have a blessed Christmas, have a blessed New Year? What do you mean when you use the word blessed? Well, it's more important. What does the word blessed really mean? It means that God would empower us to be successful in His eyes. That's what the word blessed means. Sometimes I want to stop and say, what do you mean by that? And then I look at all the people in that line and I think, I ain't going to ask that question now. But that's what the word literally means, that God may empower you to be spiritually successful. Remember, everything about God, first and foremost, is spiritual, then material. We got to look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. When Jesus says, but seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All those things are food, clothing, shelter. We have need of food, clothing, and shelter. We need jobs. We need to work.
when God created Adam and the woman and he put them in the garden, what did he say? Go over there, sit down, I'll take care of you. You don't have to work. No. He said, you got to work. You got to work this earth. Therefore, I personally believe, just as an aside, we're going to have work in heaven. The only good news about that is there won't be any sin involved. No cursing. No curses. So those of us who love plumbing, it's not going to be a bad deal. Or cutting grass or whatever else you don't like to do. But it's going to be perfect. And God has a plan for us, and it's working out on a daily basis. And that peace, that welfare, emphasizes first and foremost a spiritual relationship between the child of God and the Lord. And the second would be all the other needs are met, which means the proper relationship that we would have with each other as brother and sister in Christ. But you let this relationship go south between yourself and the Lord, then everything else is going to go south as well. So when you see that word, plans for your good, it means shalom. It means the plans that I want for our relationship and to provide for you and everybody else's relationship that you'll have will be what I say it should be. Not to do evil or not to harm you. Is there any place in Scripture where you can show me where God will harm us? No. But there's plenty of places where He'll discipline you. The most obvious is when the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And what was He doing in those 40 years? He was purging His people. And we're told in Hebrews chapter 3 that the reason that that generation died is because they didn't have faith and they were not going to enter Israel because of lack of faith. So yes, God does discipline. And God is a loving, caring, gracious, merciful God. He's also holy, just, and righteous. And it's a great, great understanding of who God really is. It's so important for us. Because that's the God that has these plans for us. Notice how he says in this here, declares the Lord, I've made my decision. It's going to happen. It's taking place. 2016, God worked in every one of us every day for that entire year. And God accomplished in us what He wanted to accomplish in that year. Now, we've got a new year starting today. And that process is not going to start over. Boy, what if He started over every year? Shoot me. I just don't want to go through what I've gone through for my however many years old I am. I don't want to repeat any of this stuff. I want to make progress and go forward. And that's what God is doing in this new year. He's taken us where He completed His work yesterday and He continues it on today. And as Hunter prayed, there'll be new challenges in our lives this year. We don't know what they are. And I think that's an act of the grace of God. I think that's God's grace. He doesn't put too much on us that we can't bear it. And so God just works incrementally in us, enables us to have the faith to carry on in whatever He puts on us. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And we have His yoke to help us with that. And this is how God works. And He says, to give you a future and a hope. To give you a future and a hope. The future there means future. It means future in this life, which you and I would look at today and tomorrow and the next week and for this year. But it also has another meaning as well. It encompasses eternity. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's eternity.
That's the future.
I'm giving you that future. It is yours. And then hope. A definite expectation. Hope.
It's really sad when someone's hope depends on the one sitting in the White House as President of the United States. If our hope is on that individual, you are to be pitied. Our hope is in Christ and in Christ alone, because Christ doesn't lie. And everything that the Lord has promised to us, He's going to give it to us. He's going to provide it for us. So the word hope means what we can expect from the Lord. And that is truth. And that is a future. And that is taking care of us on a daily basis. Whatever you and I need for this day, we will have it. What do we pray every Sunday in the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily need. And we've all had that. And we will continue to have that. And boy, when we get to heaven, whoa. It's going to be awesome. But the plan, that's God's plan for you and me today and for the days ahead. He says, I will give you a future and a hope. And the way you and I have that future and hope is in Christ alone. You will not find it anywhere else. Not in the church, not in your denomination, not in some political ideology or party. Not in a human being, it's in Christ alone. That what we studied this morning is yours personally. God says, for I know the plans I have for you personally. Memorize this verse, Jeremiah 29:11. Memorize it. And in those days and in those circumstances when it seems like God has forgotten me, God is against me, what in the world is going on in my life, you look up Jeremiah 29:11 and remember that God's plan for you is working out. And even if it's so difficult, that plan still is to conform you personally to Jesus Christ. And that's what He's doing. Brothers and sisters, be encouraged by this prophet Jeremiah and what he's had to share as the Holy Spirit, as the Lord spoke through him. And notice the context. They were in the most devastating time of their lives when they received this promise. Can you imagine this country being wiped out? Being picked up and taken to some pagan country. And you're going to stay there 70 years. And then you get this message from Jeremiah the prophet where the Lord says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Can you imagine what you would think if you were in their sandals? Yeah, really. But He had a plan and He carried it out. He has a plan for each of us and He is carrying it out. But you've got to have Christ as your Savior. You start there. If you don't know Christ, we close this service with a closing hymn. You come. I'll show you how to have Christ. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for the teaching you've given to us from your word by your Holy Spirit this morning. I pray that your children have been spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged We've been reminded of the great hope that we have in Christ. And I pray, Father, for those here who do not know Christ. Oh, how you would come upon them with your Spirit. Show them their sin. Show them your forgiveness and love in Christ, that they would come to know Christ as Savior. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.